French carols performed by the Children's Chorus of Montreal on a recording called Christmas from Around the World. Starting off this hour of music here on Classical WMUK. And as promised, I have on the line with me the president of the Kalamazoo Film Society, Dara Strauss, and longtime member Madeline Cimini, with the latest on the Society's activity. They're offering a virtual lobby discussion next week on a brand new release called Mank. It's wonderful to touch base with both of you again. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Kara. Thank you.
I understand just in the little time we had to chat before we started our sharing discussion on the radio that the Kalamazoo Film Society Board has recently suffered a loss. And I'd like to hear about this special person and what they meant to the Film Society. If I could ask about that, Madeline.
Yes, Kara, thank you. And I wrote something down, and I would like to read it because I was so afraid that I would start rambling. So, take a deep breath. Yesterday, more than 3,100 friends and families said goodbye to loved ones due to COVID-19. The Kalamazoo arts community in general and the Kalamazoo Film Society most specifically lost a beloved member. James Marcellus Watkins died in Traverse City. He struggled with ever-escalating health issues over the past 5 to 7 years and spent the past two in congregate care facilities. James was first an artist. His works appeared in the KIA, Flint, Three Rivers, Detroit, and Chicago. He had an encyclopedic knowledge and love of art, film, music, most especially jazz and R&B, and sports. He was a friend of mine since 2003, and we were close enough that I could roll my eyes and sigh and say, James, are you always late? Except now, when he was much too early to leave us. Thank you.
Madeline, would you say his full name once again?
James Marcellus Watkins. And interestingly, the Marcellus, it was in the stars that he would be an artist and a film buff. His mother named him, or gave him the name Marcellus after the character in Spartacus. And James was blessed with a core of very, very devoted friends. They don't call him James. They all call him Marcellus.
Wow.
James Marcellus Watkins, he was 65.
Oh, my, much too young.
Much too young.
And a longtime member of the Kalamazoo Film Society. So, of course, Dara, you were friends as well?
Yes, he served on our board for years and years, long before I even got on the board. And he always had wonderful insights. I would, when I got on the board, I would pick him up to take him to board meetings. And before he even had the car door shut, he'd start talking about the recent films, and it would go on like that until we got to the board meeting. It was wonderful. He was our secretary for years on the board, and always kept us honest with what how we would rate the different films, and he'd always write that down. And when we'd have our discussion at the end of the board meeting, so. Yeah, it's way too young, but I think people probably know his artwork around Kalamazoo is very celebratory of different African-American politicians and artists. His most recent, I know he had a display at Sarkozy Bakery on a Art Hop night that was well attended, and he'll be missed. For sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing your experiences with James Marcellus Watkins. And yeah, our sympathies go to his survivors and all the arts community here in Kalamazoo, facing such straitened times right now. To go along with that, theaters are closed again after being open briefly.
They are closed, at least till December 20th. As probably everyone knows, around the holidays is a big time for releases and grand films, and it's going to take a real toll on the theaters if they cannot open. But we understand why they can't open, too. So it's just a hard time for everyone right now.
One thing that I know you all share is this way of a language around film, where you can share experiences based on storylines from films, based on great scenes, based on great dialogue. And that does connect us as we search for ways to stay together in a separated time. I'm just hearing you, Madeline, talking about how you referenced probably three or four different films in talking about Mr. Watkins. So that is a specific reminder that talking about films is a fun and just so multivariate language.
And we learn from one another. I think it's always interesting, and we've talked about this previously. I may see something and think, meh, but then I listen to how other people viewed it, and I might think, oh, that's right, I didn't think about that. Or I just think, oh, you're full of baloney, it was not that good. But it does give us something to celebrate and discuss. And that was one of the many things I liked about James. He was never dismissive of your opinion. He always welcomed it, even if it was different than his. And I think so many people in Kalamazoo, if they didn't know him, they knew of him, or they may have realized that they chatted with him maybe at a bus stop or waiting for a concert. I knew of James before I knew him, but he was gentle and kind, and as I said, of all the times he had to be early, this is not the one I would have wished.
The Kalamazoo Film Society has been around since the 90s, I believe. Is that
1988?
Oh gosh, 1988. Celebrating unheralded films, some of them made independently from the major studios, and bringing attention to great stories that are a little beyond the blockbusters of the day. And if you've been thinking about joining the Kalamazoo Film Society, it's awfully easy. Maybe you've heard me and Dara and Madeline chatting about films on the radio for a little while and are just starting to think, well, you know, maybe this would be another activity for me. Like I said, it's very easy. You just need to visit the website, calfilmsociety.net, and maybe Dara can talk you through the rest of the steps.
It's, like you say, it's really easy, and you can also just join our email list, too. But if you just, sign up for the year, you do get a discount on the tickets at Celebration Theater, who we collaborate with right now. But the pandemic has also, when you talked about, Kara, about discussing films, and Madeline, one thing that the pandemic has kind of brought to the Kalamazoo Film Society, and I think will continue afterwards, is what we call the virtual lobby. And it's a chance for our members or anyone really to join us to talk about a film. And we picked the different films that we're going to discuss. And this next week, it'll be Mank. And Madeline and I and Kara, too, will go in and talk about that film. But anyone can discuss. We've been holding these monthly. We've had great fun and learning great things and talking to each other. It's fun to see, like Madeline says, their different opinions change as the discussion goes along. But our next one is next Wednesday, December 16th at 7 p.m. And it's kind of like you say, carrying on with James's interest in film and his talking about film, kind of a nod to him too, I think.
If I could talk about myself for a moment, I did look at Mank. It's on Netflix right now, and it was, I think, made available last weekend. And it took me a couple of nights to see it. At first, okay, this is David Fincher, who is a meticulous filmmaker. That's his reputation, right? And I happen to think I know an awful lot about old Hollywood and Orson Welles in particular, because for fun, I often listen to old radio broadcasts of Orson and the Mercury Theater. And I know who John Houseman is, the producer, and I've read his book. And so I have to say, like, for 15 minutes, I felt like I was fighting with David Fincher for who knew more about the details of this time. Because it is a fascinating time, especially when you think you know about what it was like. And he shows you Marion Davies, for example, and I'm like, I know who she is. She's great. Great comedic silent film actress. And so it was a bit of a push-pull for me for about 15, 20 minutes in this film.
That's great. So it's called Mank after Herman Mankiewicz,
right,
who wrote the screenplay for Citizen Kane. And like you mentioned, Mank is available on Netflix. But I had seen Citizen Kane, but I hadn't seen it recently. And I thought, you know, before I see Mank, I want to go back and watch Citizen Kane. And I wanted to let viewers know that it is available. It's available through Kalamazoo and Portage Public Libraries. They both have curbside service right now. It's easy to do. Go on their website and you can order the DVD if you still have a DVD player, and can get it that way. It's also for rent on Amazon Prime for $2.99, and also I believe through Hulu. So it's I loved watching it again, and then that helped set me up to see Mank also.
Well, that's thorough of you, Dara.
Well, like I said, I hadn't seen it for a long time, and it's like, oh, yes. And it is considered by a lot of critics as one of the very best, if not the very best film. That's Citizen Kane, considered one of the best films of all time.
Of all time. Dara, as a filmmaker, what did you think of the black and white imagery and filmmaking of David Fincher?
Well, it's totally appropriate because Citizen Kane was black and white. I've read a little bit of how he actually, Fincher actually, with his cinematographer and editor, made it look, like an old film. I love looking at that. I can see light and dark better, and as well as the grays. It's very, I don't know, addictive, I think, to watch a film that's made in black and white.
Yeah, I thought this story was going to be about the tussle between Orson Welles and Herman Mankiewicz just to get the story on the page and make the movie. But it turns out it's more about socialism and fascism in a way. Madeline, this story took a turn toward almost modern issues.
And I think that was one of the things that David Fincher wanted to do. The screenplay was written by his father, Jack Fincher, who, you know, was around at that time. And some of the things that are relevant today, William Randolph Hearst and yellow journalism, some of the sites that call themselves news sites but aren't, they're more propaganda. Upton Sinclair, who I love, there's a cameo, Bill Nye plays Upton Sinclair, and I thought that was great. But between the look of it, and there were some scenes that were taken from Citizen Kane. And I just, James would have loved this film. I loved watching it. I will watch it again. But I, like Daryl, I watched Citizen Kane again just recently because I hadn't seen it in quite some time. And interestingly, the first time I saw it, I was quite young, and I was frightened by it. The opening scene was scary to me, and I thought the whole movie was a little scary until I lived in St. Louis, and a dear friend of mine's brother, who now actually writes for Steven Spielberg, said, "What? What?" So we saw it, and it kind of like the Film Society, you know, so in the lobby or talking in the lobby. Oh my gosh. You know, maybe my 12-year-old eyes weren't really meant to see that, but I thought this was amazing. I thought the acting was spot on, the costumes, the use of light. Mm. You know, things are either backlit or from the side. And Trent Reznor, what a year he had. He wrote the soundtrack and was also inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's quite
amazing.
The range of things that can happen to a musician.
Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross wrote the soundtrack to Mank, and I have it queued up, ready to go, an 11-minute suite from the film music. And thank you, Dara, for sharing that with me. It's a spectacular score. Maybe we could talk about Gary Oldman, who plays Herman Mankiewicz, and who convinced me that he was on death's door for the whole. I'm really worried about Gary Oldman's health.
All the drinking. Oh my gosh.
A lot of smoking too.
But yeah, well, yes. I thought he just did a wonderful, wonderful job in the film. He also, people remember he played Winston Churchill a few years ago in The Darkest Hour. But the lines he has, the wit, and it just, it's like worth seeing a second time just to try to capture all the witty things that were written for him.
It's rare you find a person whose wit just sort of drips out of them unconsciously and unlike most of us who are desperately hoping for a chance to throw in a bon mot, and it's pretty stale at that point.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. I think he was part of the Algonquin Roundtable when Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur and Dorothy Parker, Groucho Marx, these people would just sit around and bounce their wit and intellect off one another. One of the funniest lines for me was when there was a woman at a typewriter, very, very scantily dressed. Yeah. And he walked out and said, "Boy, I'd like to see that in a sweater." I thought, oh my God, I'm glad I didn't have a mouthful of coffee or something. And I thought there were other ones that I think were equally as witty. But again, Jack Fincher was part of that, David Fincher's father. So I think those skills were still there when he was writing the screenplay.
Let me remind listeners that I'm speaking with Dara Strauss and Madeline Cimini of the Kalamazoo Film Society, and maybe this is a bit of a preview of next Wednesday evening's virtual lobby discussion. It starts at 7 p.m. It will be on Zoom, and to join in, go to the Kalamazoo Film Society website, and you'll be sent a link to join. Maybe I should ask, how do you have some sort of procedures on virtual lobby nights for how to handle discussions and people who want to chat about a new release?
We usually have a couple of our board members who lead the discussion. And they're very adept at doing that. And a lot of other board members are there. We all kind of see it, too, as a fun time that we get to discuss things. If everyone gets a chance to offer their opinions, we try to get a at the end, people get to rank it in their opinion of where it is from 1 to 10, with a little discussion about why they think that. But I think Chad and Mike have usually been our leaders, and they've done a great job with making everyone feel comfortable and valuing everyone's opinion, but also leading a very interesting discussion.
And I think that's one of the best things about it. It's casual enough. It's not scripted. There is some structure to it, but everyone is open to their opinion. And it's just interesting to see sometimes the range of scores and other times how they've been very, very tight. Portrait of a Lady on Fire, I think most of the scores for that film were in 9, give or take half. I gave it 11 because I loved the subtitles. I thought the subtitles were done so well. So I gave it a 10 for the film and plus 1 for the subtitles. But I would say it's comfortable. It's like standing in a lobby chatting with people, only we're doing it virtually.
I've been trained at this point to keep my microphone on mute and to sometimes just make comments via my keyboard. Is that an option?
To keep it, you're on mute during the film?
During the discussion, and is there a chat option where I would just make comments by typing?
Yeah, we haven't been doing the chat option, but we do have some members who do not want to have their picture on so they can enter the room, the Zoom room, without video.
Okay.
And we've had some who didn't talk at all, and that's fine. So we just welcome people to, they obviously love film, and we welcome their presence there. So, yeah, like Madeline said, it's very informal, very supportive, and I think we have fun, too.
It sounds fun. And the next movie virtual lobby discussion is next Wednesday, December 16th, Beethoven's birthday, 7 o'clock, and the film is Mank. Do you have to, I would feel obligated to watch the film before joining in the discussion, but maybe I could get something out of it even if I didn't get the full film in. Is that...
Totally, that's true. I love my book group. We have a book group, and one of our rules is you don't have to have read the book to join the book group, to come to the meeting. So I think the same could be said for this. And and often... We find, too, I find that once I've seen the movie and had the discussion, then I often want to go back and see it again because people will point out things that I missed or it's like, oh, okay. So, yeah, we're very welcoming to anyone.
Once again, the website is calfilmsociety.net. And we are about to hear music from the motion picture, Mank, written by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. It shows a whole lot of variety here. Perhaps last words from both of you before we move on to this music and look at another discussion for January, I hope. We'll start with you, Dara.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Kara, for having us on. And like I had mentioned, if one positive out of this pandemic is that we do have opened up a way for us all to gather to discuss our love of cinema, that is one benefit we are going to take away from this pandemic.
And Madeline?
Just rest in peace, James Marcellus Watkins. You will be missed.
Here's music from Mank. Dara and Madeline, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kara.